Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to A Conversation with Shemaine Nugent.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. You know, in the midst of all this crazy, and we have a lot of crazy going on these days, and it's heavy, and sometimes you feel like it's better to put your head through a wall than to listen to another headline of news, you get an interview, in which I will tell you, doing a lot of interviews, and they're all great, but you get an interview once in a while that's just light, and it's just a fun and enjoyable interview of just talking about life. And tonight is that type of interview. Shemaine Nugent is just a bright soul, and you're going to enjoy this. She's just got such a good perspective on life. And I will tell you, honestly, it was very unexpected. At the end of this interview, it's not recorded, but I had a chance to meet and talk to Uncle Ted, our Ted Nugent himself. He is so awesome, and they're such an amazing couple. So I'm anxious to bring this to you. First of all, let's talk about a couple of things which are important. Bards Fest, 26th to the 29th of August in St. Charles, Missouri. You need to get your tickets to get there. Shemaine is going to be speaking there on Sunday. Check the schedule. She's excited. We're excited to have her. So that is going to be another great addition to Bards Fest. So you need to get your tickets. There's an indoor and an outdoor venue. It's going to be awesome. Everything's coming together beautifully. With that, remember, 27th of August, we have the Slipper Revolution Day, which is the celebration of Mike Lindell and all he's been doing for this nation. So make sure and get your slippers at mypillow.com, mypillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. Get over to mypillow.com and get your promo code. So you've got two assignments, Patriots. One, get your tickets for Bards Fest, and that's at bardsfest.com, bardsfest.com, or bardsfm/bardsfest. And you can get indoor and outdoor tickets. It's right there. The schedule is there for both indoor and outdoor. And then get over to MyPillow and get yourself a pair of My Slippers. We all need to have My Slippers to celebrate and honor Mike Lindell. Awesome. Now, with that said, there has also been a really cool development today, and I'm going to encourage you in a really, like, get it done kind of encouragement way. Get over to Clout Hub and set up an account. It's as important. Clout Hub and Bards Fest are now teaming together to bring you that as the social media platform for Bards Fest. Clout Hub is awesome. So I talked to the CEO today, awesome guy, and we're going to absolutely make it rain with Clout Hub. They have got so many cool new features coming into play. We're going to be integrating some live Q&A through Clout Hub at the event. So make sure and get on over there. We have now two major platforms for Patriots. One is Gab.com and Andrew Torba, who I have so much respect for. And now we have Clout Hub. And Clout Hub is really geared towards being that next step. Freedom of speech. And we've got some big announcements at Bards Fest that we'll be telling you about with our teaming with Clout Hub for this next coming year. So get yourself an account on Clout Hub this Friday when we debut and announce our new Expedition Coffee. We're going to also be pushing forward our new channel on Clout Hub. It's there now. There's no content, but it's going to be great. So that's your assignments. Big assignments for today. You've got tickets to get right there. And that's tickets for Bards Fest. You've got to get your My Slippers, get armed and ready for My Slipper Day. And then you do that with your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, at mypillow.com. And then we need to get you need to get yourself an account on CloudHub. It's really easy. Seriously, by the way, they're very, very protective of your data. Here we go. This is one of the great interviews right now. Seriously, I just enjoyed this interview. And I'll tell you, when we're dealing with in the trenches every day, and it's like we're muckraking every single day with some other heavy nonsense coming down from our hand puppet, Joe Biden, and his administration with his was a man, now is a female vice president, and this whole bunch of Luciferian pedophiles that run our nation. It is so nice to speak to somebody and to have an out conversation of things that are just bright and exciting and a positive look for life. So with that said, allow me to introduce you to Chimaine Nugent. Well, Patriots, I am so excited today because I have Chimaine Nugent on, the wife of famed rocker Ted Nugent. She is a massive voice out here for health and faith, and it's just such an honor to have you on. Chimaine, welcome to the show. I'm just going to kind of let you start and tell us all a little bit about yourself.
Well, hey, Scott, thanks so much for having me. I am honored to be here on your podcast and honored to be surrounded by people like you who get it and who are speaking out. You know, my husband, we were just talking off air about what he can get away with and a lot of people can't. But the problem is a lot of people aren't speaking out. And I've learned from him, especially this past year of being shut up. And actually, I'm permanently suspended from Twitter now because I posted a silly meme video where I'm lip syncing to a song asking President Trump when he's coming back. Oh, man. Is that crazy?
It is. And it's exactly what the world we live in, absolutely suppressing everything. And it's so much of that is, we know that they're afraid of people thinking on their own.
I'm going to share something with you that we had not talked about. And I haven't shared with a bunch of people, hardly anybody yet, but very recently I was asked to get into politics and I considered it. There was a whole political group, these political strategists that work with Ted, because a lot of people will ask Ted for an endorsement. And so he's gotten to the point where he's had a few people that he knows and trusts, and they will vet a candidate. And tell him, because you don't want to endorse somebody if they're not vetted well and you don't know if they have a chance of winning. So anyways, I went to these strategists and I said, you know, because I was banned from Twitter and Governor Ron DeSantis passed that bill that, you know, if your name is on the ballot for political office, you can get reinstated. And I believe that Twitter, if they don't reinstate your account, then Twitter has to pay the state of Florida a whole bunch of money. And so I went to this political action committee and these strategists, and they said, this is actually perfect. You would be great at this. But long story short, Scott, I ended up deciding not to because I was talking to Ted about it. Number one, he said, if you want to do it, go for it. I'll support you. I'd rather you wouldn't, because they would turn it into all about Ted. The whole campaign would be all about Ted, all about his past, being in the musical industry and everything that, you know, happens when you're a rock star, all of that stuff. But it kind of pissed me off because what's going on is it's preventing good people from getting into politics, which is what we need. And I said to Ted, you know what, if I did this, it would be like I was fighting Satanists, because there are so many corrupt politicians out there and you can't trust any of them. And it's so sad, isn't it?
Oh, it's ridiculous. But you kind of hit the key thing, Chimaine, which is that we are fighting Satanists. I mean, these people, like it or not, I tell people this all the time. 3 years ago, I would not even have used that in my dialogue. And today they don't even bother to disguise it. They're right out in the front with how they believe, what their hatred for faith, for Christianity, their hatred for God, and their absolute love of extolling pain on people. And this is just insane, the world we're living in.
It really is. And what's even worse is I'm sure you have people in your life who don't have eyes to see. And in the Bible, it talks about those who have eyes can see and ears can hear, but not everybody can see. But I think what's going on right now is the veil is being lifted and we are exposing the darkness. And those of us who are taking the chances and putting our voices out there, and in what this pandemic has shown me in the past year is that we're fighting a war of good and evil right now, and it's out in the open. It couldn't be more obvious to me and so many others. And some people will never get it. They'll never have eyes to see. But our job, I think, is number one, trying to educate and enlighten people about this war, about what's really going on, the spiritual warfare, the spiritual attack that I've been under, Scott, for the past couple of months, and honestly, for the past couple of decades that I've been married to Ted, we've been married 31 years, I get it now. My eyes are wide open and I can see.
Well, I think that's profound. And I it's interesting because I've been speaking a lot about this recently, that we're not of this world, but we're in this world to do God's mission, which is to occupy the land and expand his kingdom. So yes, indeed, this is a time when we have to be educating others, helping them to see and to try to bring back as many as we can back to the fold. How has this been, this whole COVID nonsense, this fear-based craziness that we've been surrounded with? How has that impacted your immediate life, and how have you and Ted been dealing with that?
Well, I don't know if you know, Scott, but we are hunters and we pretty much live off the land. So that is a huge aspect of what's going on right now. So as far as COVID and the pandemic affecting us, it really didn't. There was one day where we were kind of running low on toilet paper, but other than that, we're not starving. You're laughing, but it's true. It's like, it was so funny. We went to the grocery store. This was during the pandemic and toilet paper was like a scarcity. Of course, Ted would find the one girl who's stocking the shelves with toilet paper, and he comes back like we strategize. Like I went down the vegetable aisle, and he went down the toilet paper aisle, and he came back with rolls full of toilet, his arms full of toilet paper, and he's like, "I got it!" Like it was the lottery ticket, you know.
You have to admit that had to be the craziest frenzy we've ever seen. I mean, my own theory is it's like that was some sort of MK Ultra trigger or something for the insanity of our society. I've never seen anything like it.
I wouldn't doubt it. But as far as the overall pandemic, like I just mentioned, it's made me buckle down on my faith and my knees more than ever before. I read the Bible every day. I try to, you know, I've been given a little bit of a platform, not what you have and not what Ted has, but I try to put my voice out there, my message out there. And you know what? I get just so many wonderful, encouraging responses that buoy my spirit, but also tell me I'm speaking truth. I'm onto something. And I'm going to continue to do that because it is making a difference. And one thing that I want to encourage people, never think that you have to be a Scott Kesterson or Ted Nugent or whoever it is, that you have to have a big audience. God needs you exactly where you're at right now.
Well, that's a great message. And it's one I hope people hear very, very truthfully, because it is so true. God pulls us always into this fight, and every single one of us has a profound voice when we're speaking through him. As a woman with strength and power in the society, and you have a wonderful relationship with Ted, you're a role model in so many ways. Talk a little bit about that in a society that's trying to destroy the family, invert the roles of the man and woman, doing even worse than that, ripping us from our biological genders to make this plurality of insanity. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, are you familiar with the film Wag the Dog?
Oh, yes. And I speak about it regularly. Yes.
Okay. So I believe that this is all Wag the Dog. They're trying to distract us from what they're actually doing. And it is, I believe, some mind control. And they're throwing in, you know, years ago, we never even would have thought about gender identity. When I was growing up, if I had to deal with that, it's just a whole nother ballgame. I do believe they're trying to swap everything on us and wag the dog, like, look over here. Don't see what this other hand is doing. And it's confusing a lot of people. It's dividing our country, our world. We've never been like that before. Like, I don't know anybody personally who is racist or homophobic. Personally, I don't. And I know a lot of people. I think what they're doing is they're playing on our weaknesses. What's the worst thing that somebody could call you right now is a racist. And I think that they're that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to divide us. They're trying to, and you know, BLM is, the leaders of BLM have said that's what they're trying to do, is remove the man, the husband, from the family unit.
And that goes back to what we were saying before, which is this whole kind of Luciferian cult that's running this. It's really phenomenal, because it really is a war of principalities beyond our control and beyond our reach. And so it takes us back to faith. You're a hunter. You're active in that realm. That's an important part of your life, because you made the comments you're living off the land, which is really big to me, because it's getting us back to kind of that fundamental stewardship of the world and life that God gave us. Talk a little bit about that.
I wasn't born and raised a hunter. I didn't live in a hunting family. My dad didn't hunt. My brother didn't hunt. And when I met Ted, he showed me this whole new world. But I had been a tomboy growing up. I played outside. I used to race motocross. And so it kind of fit in, the outdoor lifestyle. I liked, you know, working outside. I had a garden when I was a kid. And it really made sense. And Ted was steadfast about hunting and never touring during the hunting season. No, I'm not kidding you, Scott, no matter what offer, and there were some huge offers to make lots of money, he would not tour between September and December. He just won't do it. His manager knows that. Don't even bring him an offer, because I believe hunting saved him. If you look at, you know, a lot of the fallen rock stars, his idol was Jimi Hendrix, and he had the opportunity to jam with Jimi Hendrix. And he told me this story where Jimi Hendrix was backstage getting high and offered, you know, Ted a joint. And Ted said, Jimmy, you got boogers coming out of your nose. You know, it's so what's great is the deer don't care if he's a rock star. If you're sitting in a tree, have you ever hunted, Scott?
Oh, yes. I love hunting.
Bow hunting?
And bow hunting I have, yes.
Good. Good for you. Well, when you're bow hunting, you have to be within 20 to 40 yards of an animal. And it's like you're in their living room. They know every blade of grass. They know every tree. They know everything. And they can smell you a mile away. So it's very difficult sitting in, you know, in a tree with a sharp stick trying to procure sustenance isn't easy. And I think having that as a distraction, yes, for Ted, but also it cultivated his senses. He didn't want to get high because he wanted to go hunting. He wanted to wake up and have that amazing encounter, that rare encounter with a white-tailed deer, and be able to provide his family with sustenance was the key ticket. And I learned, honestly, I had a small video production company when Ted and I first got married 31 years ago. And one of our first trips just a few months after we got married was to Africa. We spent a month in Africa, and I followed him around with my video camera. And I noticed through the lens of the camera, really what hunting was all about. It's not killing, because if you wanted to kill a bunch of things, you put a bunch of animals in a building and blow it up, right? It's about that spiritual connection that we have with God's, you know, in the Bible, God says to Noah, take thy quiver and thy bow and get me some venison. So I feel like this is an attack on the family. It's an attack on what we have always known to be true and in our hearts. And a lot of people are returning to get their hands dirty with nature and to really reawaken mind, body, and spirit and become one with their sustenance and be able to become self-sufficient.
That's like the word pneuma, one breath, one soul, one God. It's a beautiful statement. To realign with all of that, And in doing so, I think you've hit on something really huge here, which is in the sense of health and the current way of being, how distanced we become with the fellowship of each other and the fellowship with God's world that we're in. Hunting, as I agree with you, and honestly, I haven't bow hunted for a number of years just due to my schedule, but you speak to something very deeply, just like fly fishing. And that's another passion of mine, is you have to be so interactive in God's world. Regardless of what you pull as the bounty, it's the interaction and being involved deeply in God's world.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that people say, if you get angry or things don't go your way, you know, go take a walk outside, go think about it. Well, what are we actually doing? We're breathing fresh, clean air. We're watching, you know, maybe a squirrel jump from treetop to treetop. We're watching leaves spiral to the forest floor. We're getting a fresh glimpse of God's greatest design. I think that the more that we return to that, I kind of feel sorry for people who don't have this option to them. In fact, I want to tell you a quick story. My son went to an inner city school, and one of the things that he wanted to do was he didn't go to all the parties and everything. He wanted to take his friends in this inner city school, half a dozen of them, and they wanted to stay up all night and play video games and then go drive around on the four-wheelers. You know, there's no drugs, no alcohol on our ranch. And so we made sure of that. But they wanted to, you know, stay up all night and drive around on the four-wheeler and spotlight animals in the wilderness, that kind of thing. And I'll never forget, everything was just wonderful. Rocco had a great time. His friends had a great time. And it was 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking out the kitchen window, drinking my coffee. And there was this black kid fishing behind our house in a pond. And I thought, this is just amazing that we have been able to share this experience with other kids who don't have it readily available. We also have a Ted Nugent Camp for Kids that teaches kids all about wildlife conservation and fishing and hunting and really what it means to be self-sufficient and a steward of this great ground that God has blessed us with.
Well, I didn't know about your kids program, your youth program. Talk a little bit about that. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's called Ted Nugent Camp for Kids. Camp is spelled with a K. And in fact, we've been doing it since Rocco was a baby, and Rocco just turned 31. So we've been doing it that long, and it's only in areas, right now it's in Omaha, and we're bringing it to Texas as well, and in Michigan and Iowa, where it's only in areas where it's 150% volunteer run. The only money that's paid out is for essential supplies for the kids. Everything, it's all volunteer run. We pay taxes. We do all that, you know, legal stuff that we have to do. But we have sought out people who believe in this program. And it's so amazing because every year now we're starting to get kids who have attended the camp when they were a kid, bringing their own children to the camp. So it's just really amazing. It's been such a blessing.
Well, this is fantastic. Well, I love that idea. So the part of Bard's Fest, which you're going to be speaking at, which we're completely honored and blessed with, there is going to be kind of a subtext of this, which I call County by County. And it's a program I've been working on here for the last year, building this out. It's built on 7 pillars. And so one of those pillars is home churches. Another is Patriot Gardens, where we literally start doing our gardens again. And like the Victory Gardens, taking accountability for our food. And the third pillar is homeschooling. And this ties in so beautifully because that's getting responsibility back into taking our children away from these indoctrination camps that these public schools have become and reconnecting them to the grace of what God's teachings are and his world. I would suspect that that's been on your mind as well. I'm not speaking for you in any way, but with what you've seen with what's happened to our public schools, and especially if you're connected with children.
Oh, absolutely. I homeschooled Rocco a couple of years, and it was a blessing to me. And this was back when we didn't have the internet readily available. And there were a handful of other families that were doing it in my small town in Michigan. And there was a woman, a mom whose son was the same age as Rocco's, and she was really good at math. I'm not good at math, Scott. So she would take the kids and teach them math and science, and I would do the English and phys ed and all that. And it was great. And there was, honestly, it was less stressful. It was a faith-based environment. And we taught our kids, we didn't move on from one subject to the next until we knew they had adequate information and they understood what was going on. So getting to your question, honestly, I think this is great what's going on because more parents are standing up. They're finally finding out what their kids have been brainwashed with. And they're going, no more. No more. I don't want to do this. I don't want my child to be indoctrinated in this. I feel badly though for parents who feel as though they don't have any other options and they have to send their kids to school and they are met with this incredible, I don't even know what it's a horrific indoctrination. What's going on right now? You can't say the pledge. You can't have a girl's bathroom and a boy's bathroom. And maybe the boys can come into the girls' locker room. It's such a shame. I'd pull my kids so fast out of there that their heads would spin. And I know people who send their kids to private school and pay lots and lots, tens of thousands of dollars per year. And they are now being met with not mandatory vaccinations for kids over 12, but if you don't get vaccinated, they got to wear a face mask. So it's a shame. Again, I pulled my kid out of there so fast. They're not going to be taking my money if it were me.
It's a tragedy, and it's also part of an agenda because they want to destroy these kids. And I don't know whether I think it's kind of twofold. I think on one hand, as we see this cabal being exposed, they're on a scorched earth to go after the very core of the future. And at the same time, they're looking to transition their world through an indoctrinated youth of whatever remains as their controlled agents, which is really sick because we're really seeing that darkness rise up and become and show itself into the world as its true face, which is a blessing, but it's really going to take a lot of strength standing up. Talk a little bit about that strength. You have it, you and Ted are really good symbols of that in standing up and being yourselves and being what God has asked you to be in this world.
Well, quite honestly, I didn't always have the strength to do it. I remember in 2017, Ted and I got invited by President Trump to have dinner with him at the White House. And we were with Governor Sarah Palin and her daughter and Kid Rock and his fiance. And it was an amazing experience. We spent almost 4 hours there. President Trump was just the most kind and generous, and it felt like we were sitting around a campfire, not to the respect that it wasn't very, I remember researching, okay, how do I hold the fork? How do I gotta mind my manners. And then at the dinner table, you know, Sarah Palin put her elbows on the table. I'm like, oh yeah, this is okay. We're going to be fine here. And so it was just very conversational. And he talked to us about some things that were going on and was very open and honest and wanted to hear our input. He took the time to show us around the White House, the living quarters, and the painting that Jackie Kennedy commissioned for her husband. It was just very intimate in a beautiful way. And when I got home from that, I posted some photos online. And you know what, Scott? I got some unbelievably horrific death threats and lots of hate. I spent hours and hours and hours a day. I don't have a team of people. It was just me deleting all the hateful comments. And it broke me, but then it strengthened me because I watched what Ted goes through. Ted gets, you know, somebody saying a nasty comment to him and he gives it right back to them in tenfold. So I have watched him and I've learned that, you know, if the haters think that there's something wrong with you, then there's really something really wrong with them. If you're preaching about God, family, and country, Scott, what is wrong with that?
Well, absolutely nothing, obviously. And that's just exactly what's so amazing about this movement is they're not that big by comparison to the numbers we have, but they're loud, they're aggressive, and they're pushing in so hard that many people have fallen back to a very weak position of being Christians. And I argue constantly that God never intended us to be weak or a doormat. Rather, he intended us to be strong and to stand in this world. And I think what you're talking about here too is that strength that when we get hit, and I think if we've been in this movement at any time, we've all been hit pretty hard. We learn to reach to God and hear what he gives us. And then in the process, he gives us that strength.
Yeah, absolutely. It took me a while to get that strength after I went through that season of being beat down. But I think we have a choice. We can either stay on our knees and keep praying for God to show us the way or the Holy Spirit to, you know, help clear the path, which I do think is important. And I will always continue to do that. But we also have to get back up on our two feet and take action. And I think that's what God is asking of us right now. I think we've got to take what we have. And again, I want to appeal to your audience. You've got a lot of people listening that don't feel like they have a big platform, and that maybe they're just I was talking with someone who was my hairstylist actually. And she said, you know, I talk to so many people, I'm like a therapist. And I said, you're right. God put you in an incredible position to be able to share your message with other people. And I think that's what we're missing. We look to people like the Kardashians. I used to be addicted to watching Entertainment Tonight. After last year, after I went down the rabbit hole in January of 2020, I can't turn on mainstream television anymore. It sickens me. I can't watch any of that stuff, any of those television programs or, you know, the Kardashians, God bless them. I think that, you know, what that has done, that was a great distraction. You know, hey, let's all watch the greatest, you know, the latest, greatest fashion and styles. And I, you know, I like that now and then too, but it's distracting us, Scott, from what's important. God wants us to literally get our hands dirty, dig down in the dirt in God's great design, and share our prophecy with other people, share what we know with other people.
Oh, I think that's so true. You are big on health as well, which is a huge component I think we talk not enough about in terms of our faith. Talk a little bit about your pursuit of health, because that's also been a big part of your platform.
Well, about 18 years ago, my home that was once featured on MTV Cribs was contaminated with toxic mold. We never saw anything. Ted and I and our son Rocco just kept getting sicker and sicker. And I think this is critical, Scott. What happened there, I went to dozens of doctors. I was getting horrible migraines. It got to the point where I've been teaching group fitness classes since 1980, but yet 10 minutes into my class that I was teaching, I couldn't breathe. I felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. In fact, I had to be rushed to the hospital a couple of times. I thought I was having a heart attack. I took so many prescription drugs for migraines. It was like, you know, the biggest bag of M&Ms. I just kept trying different things, went to different doctors, and nobody could help me. And we finally discovered that it was toxic mold. And if I did way too much research about mold in the Bible, Leviticus talks all about it. And I think there's a reason for this. It was my spiritual awakening. Nobody could help me, but yet I had a young son that I had to take care of, and he was getting sick. So not only did I have to take care of my son, I had to take care of myself. It's like the flight attendant says, put the mask on yourself before helping others. Now we, more than ever, we have to take care of our own health so that we can spread God's light and God's love. Because when you don't feel good, and Ted and I had COVID, when you don't feel good, you can't help anybody. So health has got to be, every day I have this, in fact, I have a new journal that is, I love the way that's it's laid out. I collaborated with Journals Unlimited. If you go to journalsunlimited.com, and I'll send you the link so you can share it with your people. But the pages are undated, so you never miss a page. Like a lot of people buy a calendar. I used to do that. or buy a journal and it's every day, but I don't write in it every single day. So these pages are undated, but it also allows you an area for gratitude, for Bible study, and to keep track of what you ate that day, how you felt, how you slept, your water intake, because health is so important. Health next to God, health is everything. We all have to take and put ourselves first and our health first right now so that we can be spiritual warriors out there and do put on the full armor of God and do God's good work.
Oh, that's so true. I think one of the things that happens when you get into the limelight and that you and Ted have been, and what I'm truly enjoying about this conversation we're having today, is there's an idolization that occurs, and there's a detachment, I think, that people sometimes feel that somehow you are not of us, that you're somehow something other. And I think that's some feed on it. We know that there are rock stars and there are other Hollywood stars that relish in that idea, that idolization. I've never had that impression with you and Ted. You seem you're just who you are. Speak a little bit about that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And if, you know, women will know what I'm talking about, it's not the look I'm going for to be, you know, put on a pedestal or not be approachable. And we constantly get that when we go out, you know, to wherever, grocery store, we go out all the time. In fact, Ted's out running errands right now. And people will approach us all the time. And we have spent so much time meeting with salt of the earth people, good people of all walks of life, of all ages, and their conversations are very much like ours, like what we're having here right now. What's going on with this world? Can you believe what happened in the news? And they do appreciate the fact that, you know, it's funny because my husband is not a slave to fashion. I will say that. You have to pick and choose your battles, and I'm never going to win that one about fashion. So he pretty much wears the clothes that he's going out hunting in to run errands, to go to the dentist. Sometimes we were at the dentist's office one time. We were sitting in the waiting room, and I go, "Ted, you have blood on your shoes." He goes, "Yeah, I gutted a deer this morning." So he really doesn't care. He really doesn't care, and I think that's so sweet and so special. So that's the look that I'm going for, is to be able to have these conversations with people. And that's what keeps me going. That, you know, we know Steven Tyler. Ted's known him for a long time. I don't think Steven Tyler can go grocery shopping by himself. And I think that's what hunting has done for us. The deer don't care that my husband's a rock star. They don't care he sold 40 million albums. So you have to have something in your life that brings you back down, put your feet back down in the earth, no matter if you're, you know, a politician, a big podcaster, or a doctor or attorney or whatever it is. There are humbling things that I think God places in our life that keep us real. And, you know, I love being a part of that.
Well, I'm looking right now at what is truly one of my most favorite presidential photos, especially with President Trump, and it's you and Ted standing behind President Trump in the Oval Office and Ted's camouflage cowboy hat. That's just epic, right? So
yes. And I did have to kind of, before we went, I said, "Now, do you have a sport coat that you can wear? Can you, you know?" But yeah, so he's got something camo on in the Oval Office. Who'd have thought? But he can get away with it. And, you know, he is who he is. And I think I see a lot of similarities in President Trump and my husband. They don't care what other people think of them. President Trump is going to say what's on his mind, and so does my husband. And it's the only unfortunate thing is now that we lost the First Amendment. So they are coming after us left and right, and they're coming after the Second Amendment. You know what they're coming after next, Scott? The Bible. So it's important right now that we all put on that full armor of God, and no matter what area of expertise you have, God needs you to be a warrior, to be a, a spiritual warrior and to get ready.
What would you say in your life, Shemaine, has been the piece that's brought you closest to God? Most of us have an experience somewhere along the way that's, obviously some grow up in faith. I grew up with a strong faith family, not a church-going family, and then there was a couple of instances in my life that brought me dearly close to God. What about you?
It's those horrific trials and tribulations that we all endure. And I've written about it in my books. I wrote a book called Married to a Rockstar. And I wrote about it in a recent book that I released last year of all, March 20th, during the pandemic, called 4 Minutes to Happy. So it's not anything new, but a few years into our marriage, Ted had an affair and it devastated me. And it's public knowledge, it's out there. But I went through the dark night of the soul. I was down on my knees praying to God. And we worked on our marriage. We went to counseling. And, you know, the number one thing is that he agreed to change. And, you know, we're not the same people. We both evolved. But you know what that did? When you're down on your knees, you're closer to God. And that brought me closer to God, begging God, you know, what am I supposed to be learning from all this? What am I supposed to be seeing? And in my book, Married to a Rockstar, I remember writing this. I think it's like 18, 20 years old. I think I published it in 2003. And I wrote, if writing this book can help one person, then it's worthwhile. And I remember going on Sean Hannity's show back when he had Hannity and Combs, and I talked about it. I talked about the book and talked about this whole situation. And literally, I got walking out of the studio, Fox Studios in New York City. I'm walking out, I turn on my phone, and an old friend texted me and said, I just saw you on Hannity. I think my husband's having an affair. Can you help me? So you never know what you're supposed to be doing in life. And, you know, it's not like I wanted to be known as the mold lady, but I know a heck of a lot about mold right now, Scott. I'm writing a book about it. I'm producing a documentary. We'll have to talk about that. And I'm sharing what I learned with people because that's how God has chosen to use me. And if we grow a heart, a spirit of bitterness and resentment, I did that for a while. I was angry. I went through all those stages. But what I was really saying, and what so many of us say when we are bitter and angry, we're saying, man, I wanted to have a perfect marriage. I wanted to have a perfect life. My thought about how my life would turn out was better than yours, God. That's what we're really saying. And so God is just shifting the focus and asking us, you know, go on this journey, bear with me. I'm going to show you something even better.
That's amazing story and a great way of putting it. And I agree. I think that also we learn, I've which I'll share with you in another time, but a huge trial in 2017 that really brought me to my knees, literally. And what seems, I think, is the worst moment, as I look back now, I can't thank God enough for that moment, because it becomes our greatest strength to move forward. And I think that's evident in just scrolling through pictures or interviews with you and Ted. There's a trueness in which you have with one another, and it shows. It shows in eyes. It shows in the compassion you have for one another, the presence you have for one another. And I think that speaks a lot to what you each have found through God in one another. That's a challenging thing for many at this point in time. There's so much division in families right now. There's so much pressure on trying to destroy the family. What would you say to that, to people that are really facing some of those challenges, Shemaine?
Well, somebody asked me recently, and this is kind of a joke, but not really. Somebody said, you know, asked me, how have you and Ted been married 31 years? My answer was, we spend a lot of time apart. It's kind of a joke, but not really. You have to have times apart where you miss each other, because if you're in the same home 24/7, and you know, when Ted's working, he didn't tour last year and he didn't tour this year. He's not touring this year, but when he's gone, he's gone. So I had no choice, but when I was raising my son, I focused on my son. And then when my son was old enough to leave home and do his own thing, it's time for me. And I think we've lost who we are in a lot of our relationships. And we need to get back to that. We need to set some time aside, whether it's your own war room, your prayer room, even if it's 30 minutes a day, you've got to make time for you. And you've got to, and in my book, 4 Minutes to Happy, I talk about how do you be happy in this world? You have to find the thing that makes your heart sing and do it. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have time. Really? Do you have time to get sick? Because if you continually are resentful that you don't have time to do the thing that you love to do, your mental health is just as important as your physical health. And we all know that if somebody says something to us and, you know, hurts our feelings, that has a physiological manifestation in our bodies. So if you allow that bitterness and that anger and resentment to eat away at you, you're going to eventually get sick. So I suggest find even that's here's the title. I'll tell you about how. Do we have a couple minutes?
Of course, as much time as you like.
Okay. So the name of the book, here's how this all came around. When I got sick and almost died from toxic mold, and I recovered through alternative or what they now call functional medicine, like vitamin IVs. I was doing that 20 years ago, Scott. Vitamin IVs, infrared sauna, changing my diet, leading a healthy lifestyle, teaching group fitness classes, and actually working on my metaphysical spiritual health. And I thought, oh, I got to write a book about this. But, you know, life gets in the way, and I never did. And so I was about to turn 50 at the time, and I thought, you know, maybe I should call the book 50 is the New 30, something like that. And then I could talk about health and fitness. And I struggled with the title and, you know, just setting aside time to write it. And I remember going to bed one night. I literally, Scott, fell asleep with my hands in a prayer position. And I just asked God for guidance. And I woke up the next morning and God spoke to me in a way that he never had. It was a whole body. I felt the vibration. I felt him speaking to me. I heard his voice. And he told me the name of the book, which was 4 Minutes to Happy. And then I kind of thought, well, actually, yeah, that's great, because a lot of people say I don't have time to go work out of the gym. I don't have an hour three times a week to go work out. Yeah, but do you have 4 minutes? Well, the dirty little secret is 4 minutes can turn into 10 or 20 or 30, but you got to start somewhere. And so I started having this conversation with God, like, yeah, I think this is good. I can do this. And then God told me, Scott, to write the book in 3 days. And I'm like, well, okay, I can't do that. Who can do that? Who can write the book in 3 days? And you know what, Scott? You know what day that was? That was on a Good Friday. And I realized that something incredible happened in 3 days. So I made an announcement on my social media and to my husband that I was going to write this book in 3 days. And I did. So that's how it came about.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm looking at it now and it's available on Amazon. Is that the main place it's available?
Yes. 4 Minutes to Happy on Amazon.
Yeah, that's great. You did that in 3 days.
Yes.
That's impressive. You've written quite a bit, and you mentioned just a minute ago that you're working on a new film. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, this has been coming up for me. You know, how do I turn, you know, a disaster, something that not only did we lose our home that was once featured on MTV Cribs, if you go DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use and look up Ted Nugent MTV Cribs home, that house is demolished. It no longer stands. We got so sick. I was in the hospital for a month. And it was a devastating tribulation. We lost everything. We walked away from the home with the clothes on our back, and we got rid of those because I found out one mold spore is 1/100th the size of human hair, and its natural defense mechanism is to propagate a million times, like a dead dandelion. So I couldn't take the chance of being reinfected. We just started all over. And again, I wanted to share my story with other people because every single day to this day, Scott, people are asking me, you know, we just moved into this new apartment and, you know, I started getting the scratchy throat or I started getting headaches and I'm not sure. And you, here's something that I have not shared. You're the first to hear this in the public.
Do we need to do a breaking news thing here?
Yes, breaking news, breaking news. So we demolished that house and we built a 750 square foot log cabin because Ted likes the property. He likes to go up there in Michigan during the summer. It's a heck of a lot cooler than in Texas. And we went up there in June and we started getting sick. And it's little things like I was getting migraines again and Ted had joint pain and we weren't sleeping. And I went, Ted, you know what this is. We got to get the house tested. And sure enough, Scott, we just found out last week that house has mold in it. So it's following, I believe in my heart that this is spiritual warfare attacking me over and over, and that I've got to get this info out to people. Like I said, I know way too much about toxic mold. It can affect you. And I believe that it's constantly being misdiagnosed as other inflammatory diseases, fibromyalgia, migraines, and even, yes, cancer. It's being misdiagnosed at all these things. And if we could just clean the air in our homes, I believe that we could be a lot healthier and take less prescription drugs and be able to live healthier and happier. So I am in the final stages of finishing up this documentary that I have been filming for the past couple of years about my experience. And I want to educate people. I feel like God's been pushing me to get this information out. And again, the same thing, if I can help just one person, then it's worth it.
I would agree. I think that's the biggest thing that we forget. And it's the person by person, which was really Christ's walk in all that he did. And you're reminding that well today over and over. Well, Shemaine, we're going to have you at Bard's Fest. And we're really excited about that.
Yes, I'm so excited.
It's going to be wonderful. And I think we'll probably have some other surprises when we get there to announce, which will be great. What are some of your last thoughts here today? Just for people that in this time, in this age, there's a lot that people are dealing with. And keeping happiness and strength up is a real challenge. And you've really brought a really bright focus on life in general today. What would be some of your last thoughts?
Well, I don't know when you plan on airing this, but just a couple of days ago, I did a video about having a spirit of bitterness, confronting the spirit of bitterness. And we talked about this just now, but if people want more information, they can go check that out. On the social media that I still have available, which is Facebook and Instagram, the Blue Check. And I think, you know, we all have something in our lives that we can, if we allow it. Like I could look at what just happened to me. And somebody said to me, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this mold keeps following you, that we can, it's been like four or five times now, Scott, that several different houses of ours have water leaks, substantial water leaks. We could look at this, at the situations in our lives as, and I'm sure there are elements, there are times when we can be angry, but if we just choose to, okay, allow yourself maybe 4 or 5 minutes to be angry as heck about whatever situation it is, and then ask God for guidance. How can this come to a positive resolution? How can you share this information that you're learning with other people? What message should you be learning from this? And I think if we change that bitterness into something positive, we can all realize that God put us, each and every one of us, here so that we can help others. And I think that's what's most important in life.
I think that's beautifully said. Well, Shemaine, as we always do on this show, we close with a prayer. So if it's okay with you, I'll do a prayer.
Love it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and this blessed time we've come together to once again reflect on the greater message that you give, the message of loving our neighbors as we want to be loved, to help those in need and to constantly protect the innocent, to raise up your children, to raise up this army, Lord, that you've put before us, to occupy the land and to spread your kingdom. Lord, let us not forget the importance of the one by one, the single engagement, as Shemaine has reminded us so well here today. And we ask that you'll continue to bless Shemaine and Ted and their son and all that they do to spread your word, to spread your guidance, to raise up children, and to continue to put you first in all things. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Shemaine, it's a pleasure to get to know you a bit here, and so excited to, again, to have you at Bard's Fest. What's on, besides Bard's Fest, which obviously that's going to be my big focus, but what else do you have on the schedule in the near future?
Oh, I have so much going on, but I'm focusing on finishing my documentary. I'm writing a book now about healthy living and a journey to, a lot of people have asked me, you know, I just turned 59 and they say, you know, I want your energy. I what are you using for skincare and all of that? So I'm writing a book about that. And I talk in social media about some of the supplements that I've been taking that have changed my life. And again, I just want to share positivity and happiness with people in whatever God, whatever way, whatever venue God presents to me.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again for being on the show. I know this is going to be one that everyone's going to truly love, and we'll look forward to talking to you or seeing you at Bard's Fest. So have a very blessed day, and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you too. Thank you for what you're doing, Scott.
Well, Patriots, that was Shemaine Nugent. And honestly, one of the real bright interviews that I've done, and probably one of the brightest interviews I've done in a long time. Really a big reminder of the importance of positivity and shaping our world by the optics of light and truly bringing light into our heart, into our day. It's so important in this point in time that we do that. I think that so much of the fight that we're facing is one that we're not acknowledging. And that is that in this time, what the enemy and the cabal is seeking to do is to constantly keep us in the negative, to keep us in the trenches, to keep us in the bloodbaths of torment, of headlines and fear and anxiety. And even though we try to step aside from it, I don't think we spend enough time celebrating the glory that God brings us, the beauty that is around us, and the pure celebration of life that we all have. So I would encourage everybody to obviously get her book. I'm talking to Shemaine about possibly airing her film at Bard's Fest, and maybe even having it available on Bard's FM in the next couple of weeks. We'll see about that. But lots of things ahead, for sure, and a real positive voice that we need to hear a lot more of. So with that, take some time, cruise over, maybe check out her book, and let's also consider, really think about the amount of time we spend each day looking up and celebrating God, and not looking down and trying to dig ourselves out of a trench that ultimately they want us in and we don't need to be walking in. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. It's never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers, Patriots, and the light of God is the strength in this fight, and he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. By the way, just a quick footnote. I just got a text a little bit ago from Shemaine. Ted and is on Tucker, and I don't know if it's airing tonight. It looks like it might be airing tonight, and I'll try to find out where that is. So look for that on the web. It looks like Shemaine and at least Ted was with Tucker. I mean, they're both together with him, but I don't know if she's talking. But anyway, so again, Shemaine will be at Bard's Fest, and I believe she's speaking on Sunday. It's going to be an exciting time having her there, a real positive way to kind of bring a close to 4 days of fantastic celebration. We're so excited. So I'll see you this evening. For the last show of the day, Fishers of Men, until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.